Okay, it's good to be with you today. My name is Mike Chibero, and I'm one of the elders here at Grace, and it is my privilege to be a part of your quest for purity and to share with you today about this very important topic of shepherding your son's sexual development. Let me let my cohort introduce himself.
Good morning. My name is Matt Chibero, and so I'm one of the student ministers here on staff at our Pelham Road campus.
So as the staff affectionately refer to us around here, I'm Chib and he's Chiblet. Don't know where they got that from, but it is what it is. So we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to have a conversation between father and son in front of you. I've asked Matt to share honestly about his growing up in my home. Hopefully he'll share a few things that I did right, but I've also asked him to share some things that perhaps he wish I had done differently. Not too many of those so that I'd lose credibility, but I have asked him to be honest with you because looking back, I wish I had done some things differently. So he'll share that with you. In opening, I'd like to just share a few opening comments with you, and then Matt will share some as well, and then we'll get into some practical things that hopefully will be a help to you. I know as you've gone through this quest for purity, many of you as dads have felt not only the weight of your own quest for sexual purity, but you felt that weight for your sons. You're thinking, oh my goodness, I've not only got to deal with my issues, but I've got to help my sons deal with this. And that can be a very heavy weight at times. I hope what we can do today is encourage you in that, encourage you to carry that weight and give you some practical help for doing that. So three things I'd like to share with you in opening and just kind of get these out of the way. The first thing I'd say is that our dad's failure in this area is not an excuse for us as dads to fail. In other words, the cycle has to stop somewhere. And if we're honest, most of us probably wish our dads had done something a little bit different, had perhaps poured into us a little bit more in this area. So our dad's failure is not an excuse. They did the best they could. So my story is probably similar to many of you. My dad grew up in a poor environment. His parents were both immigrants. They didn't speak a lot of English. And so I would imagine that my dad did not have a lot of conversations with his dad, if any, about his sexual development. So when I was growing up in my dad's home, I distinctly remember two very brief conversations with my dad. They were very brief and very coarse, vulgar, in fact, at times. And I remember where I was when I had him. I can remember exactly what he said. So I'm about 12, 13 years old. I'm walking through the den of my home, and I look outside the sliding glass door, and we had a collie at the time, a dog, our family dog. And my dad had agreed to let someone bring their female collie to mate with our dog. So I'm walking through the den, and I look out there, and my dog and the dog that was brought to him, they're doing what dogs are supposed to do. And I look out there, and I'm kind of looking at it. My dad walks by, and he says, "You see that, son?" He said, "That's how you make babies." And he walked away. I said, "Thanks, Dad. I appreciate that." The next conversation, and the only other conversation I had with him, was the summer before I went off to college. We were in the car. I remember exactly where we were, driving down Wayhampton Boulevard, nearing the intersection of Stone Avenue. And he says to me, just matter-of-factly, he says, "So, you going off to college this year?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, if you're going to fool around, you better wear a condom." That's all he said. I didn't know what to say. And that was the extent of my shepherding that I got from my dad. And that's not an excuse. So I tried to do better. I tried to learn from different places, read a lot of books, and tried to do better with my sons because I saw how important this is. But just because our dads failed doesn't give us an excuse to fail. The second thing I would say to you is, as dads, a lot of you are burdened with the guilt of your own past failures in this area. And you really need to make sure you accept God's forgiveness for your failures and see your shepherding your son as your opportunity for redemption. So accept God's forgiveness and put those behind you because God does, and step forward and courageously lead your son in this area. And then the last thing I would say is that probably more than any other area in developing your son, this is an area where hypocrisy will breed rebellion. And by that, I mean your walk is so important in this area, far more important than your talk. And so it's so very important that you fight this battle every day personally, because you can't lead your son to a place that you're not willing to go to yourself. There's a story about President John F. Kennedy that illustrates this. Many people know that the late President Kennedy was a known womanizer, had a promiscuous adult life. But there's a story in one of his biographies that always intrigued me that maybe explains some of the context for that. So when John F. Kennedy was a 12-year-old boy, he went away on family vacation. The entire family went. And they had a guest go with them. Their guest that went with them was movie actress Gloria Swanson. And apparently she was a friend of the family. So they go to their beach home, wherever it was. And at some point, John's father, Joseph, decides to go on a boat ride, and he decides it's just going to be him and Gloria Swanson. Well, John decides that he wanted to go. He knew his father didn't want him to go, so he hid underneath the deck of the boat in a little storage area. So they get out to sea somewhere, and John comes out from underneath the boat, only to find out on deck there he finds his father having sex with Gloria Swanson. And John Kennedy recalled as a young boy, he was so repulsed by that he literally jumped into the ocean, threw himself overboard into the ocean. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And so men, I just want to encourage you. Your walk is so critically important. Your personal battle is so important in this and in setting the example for your sons. Matt?
That's great. I mean, the first thing, to open for me, I would talk from two perspectives. One, a son's, but also from a student ministry perspective. And what I would say to the fathers is the first thing that you got to understand is the battle is real. Just think for you, back to your adolescence, to your teenage, and think about the struggles that you had and the struggles that you had with even limited access to pornography. I mean, just having to be able to obtain a magazine, to now your sons are going through the same struggles and the same things, but for some of them, they literally at their fingertips have unlimited access to pornography, the internet, and so on. And so what I would say for a son growing up in this generation where technology has birthed out of and just gone rampant, to even from dealing with a lot of your sons and students, is that your sons are struggling. They are going and being tempted a lot. A lot of them are hurting and feel alone, and they need their fathers in this process. And if they're a part of our student ministry here at Grace Church, the way we set up things are for them to be in small group, to be in community, to have other peers that they can talk to, have other leaders. But a lot of times the accountability with their peers is good, but a lot of times it doesn't have any authority. It doesn't really have any spiritual authority. And what we believe here at Grace Church is as fathers and as parents, you are the primary discipler of your kid. And what that means is that you are called to be the spiritual authority in your son's life. And what they need in their lives is they need fathers who are going to be the spiritual authority, be the spiritual accountability in their lives as they go through this battle. And so often it's really difficult for us when we see, as student pastors and student ministers, moms coming in our offices, and they'll come in and they'll be freaking out because they've caught their son looking at pornography or failed in some area around sexuality or something like that, and they'll be coming in the room and they're coming in going, hey, can you fix my son, or can you handle this problem? And so often the fathers are absent in that process. And so what I would encourage you from a son's perspective, knowing your sons, and also from a student ministry perspective, is that we need fathers that are going to fight this battle with their sons, that one, are leading their families well, and that are the spiritual authority in their sons' lives when it comes to this, and that they're going to fight this battle with their sons. Because what I would say is that the battle is very, very real. So that's what I would say to open.
Well, picking up on what Matt said, let's get into what I call practical strategies for shepherding your son sexually. We're going to give you 7 things that are just some ideas that hopefully will generate further ideas with you. And so let's go through these. So to pick up on Matt's thought about it being a battle, the first item I have here is develop a battle plan and lead your son into battle. Develop a battle plan and lead your son into battle, because it is a war. I like the motif of it being a battle, because it kind of gave me some energy around the subject to get my son engaged in this. And so when my boys were younger, it became very clear to me that there was an enemy out there and that we needed to fight a battle together. And so literally when he was probably about 13 years old, I sat down with my two oldest sons and I wrote out a battle plan. I wrote them a letter and I attached the battle plan to it. I just want to read you just a paragraph or two from that letter. This made me feel better. I don't know if he threw it away or what he did with it, but at least it gave me sort of some energy around the topic. So I said, "Dear son, it's clear to me that we are at war. The enemy is out to get us. Today," and I mentioned one of our sons, "came down to my office to look up some cheats for a PlayStation game, and the website came up with inappropriately dressed women. It was just one of many signs that I have seen recently that confirmed to me that the enemy is trying his very best to lead us into impurity." And I said, "It is a war that we just can't afford to lose. Failure is not an option. I'm your dad, and when it comes to this war, I am ordained by God to be your commander-in-chief. Countries lose wars because they don't have good leaders. I promise you that I am going to commit every ounce of energy I can to helping us fight and win this war." And then I attached some very specific things that I said, "This is what we're going to agree to." And I, looking back on them, you know, I didn't follow through with all of them, but I tried. I tried to let my son know that, hey, we're in this together and we're going to fight this battle together.
Yeah, I think that's great. I would say to the sons is that you have to understand that your fathers understand. You have to understand that your fathers are in the battle with you. They understand what's going on. They have been in your shoes, but you also have to understand that they are still in the battle and that it does not end. And that they are in this with you, that they are going to war with you. They are not your enemy. And so for me, I mean, that was a challenge. I mean, a lot of times the conversations felt a little awkward and difficult, but for you, I would encourage you to come alongside your dad. Don't fight that tension and fight the battle with them as sons.
Number two, communicate clearly and courageously. As Matt referred to, the first time you have communication with your son on this topic, it's probably going to feel very awkward. But this is an area that you've got to be courageous. You've got to just gird yourself up and force yourself through that awkwardness to have that conversation. You know, practically, one of the best places I found to have these conversations was in the car. Because your son can look ahead. They don't have to look at you. You've got a captive audience. And honestly, I found that to be one of the easier places to do that. But just want to encourage you dads to step toward this communication. Don't step away from it. And it takes courage to do that.
Yeah, I would encourage you to share lots and often. The more often you share, the less awkward the conversation becomes. The more often you share, just the more normal the conversation comes. And so we've had this conversation as I've gotten older that I wish we would have had more conversations around this. I wish we would have had more continual conversations, not just at landmark moments of puberty or something like that, or just when I started dating a girl, but more continual conversations. And so I would encourage you as fathers to have continual conversations more often, lots of conversations, but also communicate clearly. I think it's extremely important for you as fathers to communicate clearly. Just think about when you were a teen, about all the questions that you had when it came to sex, when it came to women, when it came to starting to recognize what they looked like and how they dressed, and all of those questions that you had. Your sons have those questions or will have those questions. And so for you, you got to answer, would you rather your son find the answer to those questions, one, through another peer, another 13, 14, 15-year-old, or the internet? Because they'll search it, they'll go find the answers. We've seen that in student ministry, working with your kids. They're going to go find it. Or would you rather them find the answers to those questions from you? And so I would encourage you, one, be courageous in those conversations, but be extremely clear. Answer those questions for your sons. Lead them through the battle. Don't let them wonder and go searching and finding those questions in places that are not safe. So I would encourage y'all to do that.
Yeah, so please learn from my failure in this area. I feel, looking back, I feel like I worked off too much of a checklist mentality. Facts of life conversation, check, done that. Masturbation, check, done that. Don't have to do that again, thank goodness, right? Don't do that. Make it a part of the fabric of your everyday conversations with your son, I think is what Matt's saying. So he's going to do it differently with his kids, and I'm thankful for that. Number three, protect the window to your son's heart. And that window are his eyes. We all know as men that the temptation that we get comes through our eyes, the images that we see. So it kind of is, you know, common sense here, guys, but you have to be radical in your commitment to try and protect the window of your son's heart and protect his eyes. So this is where it gets very practical, and thinking about the things that you do to help protect your son's innocence, to allow him not to see things that he shouldn't see. So it's everything from internet protection to watching the TV shows that they watch to guarding their friendships. And so when he was young, yeah, I took this seriously. This was an area I could sort of hold on to and do something about. And so growing up, he grew up in a home where we were constantly, trying to address these issues. I think we were the last American family to get the internet in our home. When we got it, we got the slowest possible internet we could get. We had all kinds of filters on it, which created a lot of frustration for him that he'll talk about. Movies, we loved movies as a family, but you know, half the movies out there had things in it that our young sons didn't need to see, or their dad didn't need to see. So I found a service somewhere out in Utah, I think it was put on by the Mormon Church, where you could find a popular movie, and they would go in and they would edit out certain segments of the movie, and then you could rent the movie and they would send it to you and send it back. So we would sit down and watch a movie like Titanic. And in that scene that you don't want your son to see, it would just go blank for about 2 minutes. And of course, our kids would complain and whine about that. What's happening? You know, what's going on? And it would just go blank, and then it would come back on. But all that to say is this is a place, dads, that you've got to step forward. And you've got to take action in this area. Because if you don't, Matt's already alluded to the fact of what's out there for them. So protect the window of their heart.
Yeah, I would say this for me as an adult sitting here now is something that I am extremely thankful for. But as a son, as a kid, was extremely frustrating. I mean, I can literally remember yelling at my parents about why we didn't have internet, why it was so slow. And then once we finally did get internet, it was so filtered. I mean, I literally remember we had one service that you could not even get on ESPN.com. And I was like, all I want to do is just check the box score of the Braves game. And I mean, I remember just being so frustrated by this, not being able to watch movies because of sexual content, but my friends were being able to watch it. And all of this that at times, for me as a kid, felt a little bit legalistic. I was like, why do we have all of these rules? But looking back on it now that I see that it wasn't at all. That my parents actually saw the bigger picture. They saw that was what was actually going on, and they were providing a covering, and they were providing a protection around me. They were being the spiritual authority in my life, even when I didn't understand what was going on, even though I got frustrated, even though I fought against it, they were still leading me through this battle and putting in protections and guidelines around me when I didn't even fully understand it. And so what I would say is for you as fathers, you got to sometimes take bold, drastic measures. And from a student ministry perspective, looking in, I don't know for parents in general if they've thought very well through this battle, if they're asking very good questions through this battle, even in regard to technology. That's kind of the big one that I think of when it comes to our students and when it comes to having conversations with them. And when I have conversations with other parents, I don't know if parents as a whole are asking really good questions. I mean, as simple as, does my son need an iPhone? Like, does my son need a smartphone that has unlimited internet? And then it's, well, there's protections on it. So their internet has been filtered. Well, then they also know how to beat that. And so are we even aware of that? Are we asking questions around that? Are we asking good questions around this battle when it comes to internet in our home, technology, the use of it in our home? And so I would encourage you this, as fathers, for you as fathers, to attack this. To put in basically a battle plan when it comes to protecting your son's heart. And even if that means going against the norm, even if that means your kid might be the only one without an iPhone. I mean, for me, I was the only kid without internet. I mean, I was the kid that didn't get to watch all the other movies. But for me, looking back at it to my parents now, I go, thank you. I go, thank you, because I see the consequences of so many of my friends that did not have boundaries, and how at such an early age they were already addicted to pornography. They were exposed to so many things because there were no guidelines, or their parents were not following through on things, or they were very light on things. And so even in the midst of your son getting frustrated with you, pushing against, what I would say is keep fighting. Keep fighting that battle with them, because the goal for you is to protect their heart, to put a covering around them and start laying a foundation for them to see that led by you and then through your family. So I would encourage y'all with that.
Yeah, that's a good word. The next item is demonstrate the joy of your marriage. So to dads, I think it's really important that you give your sons a picture of the end game. A picture of what God intended for a man and a woman. And so I think it's important that they see that you enjoy the company of your wife, and that you cherish her, and that you like spending time with her, because it shows your son what the end goal is and what a blessing that can be. So when he was young, I hope what he saw was that my wife and I like to spend time together. And there were times when we were going to go spend the night outside the home. And I'm sure as a young boy, he didn't really understand that, why we didn't want to stay at home. But I think over time, that communicated to our kids, hey, mom and dad like being together. You know, and hopefully they see how that fits into God's plan for their sexual development, and that God has a woman who he intends to have for them to be the sole source and direction of all of their sexual energy. So the next one is very, very important. Number 5 says, handle failures with grace. Because let's face it, they are going to fail, just like we're going to fail. And I think it's really important as dads that you learn how to handle these failures in the right way. I'm not saying there doesn't need to be correction and discipline, but I think more than anything, what's needed so often in these situations, particularly the first few times they occur, is grace. Because their own guilt can be very heavy, and you need to step in a way where you don't freak out, you don't allow your wife to freak out. And it's an area where you really have to shepherd her and help her understand what her son is going through. Matt alluded to this in one of the earlier messages. It's really an opportunity for dads to communicate with their wives in a very healthy way. But more than anything, you've got an opportunity to show your son the gospel and to both communicate to him in love and grace, and help him to understand there is forgiveness for the sin and how he can move on from that. We used to tell our kids that the Holy Spirit was on our side, that we actually used to pray that they would get caught in sin so that we could demonstrate the gospel to them, show them Christ's forgiveness for them, and help them to learn from that.
So yeah, the Holy Spirit did work, and I was caught some. And so growing up, there were times that I was caught, that my brothers, we were caught in different situations and different things, and even times where we confessed. And so I would say, as for my dad, he did a very good job of handling that with grace and not freaking out. And so I would just encourage you as fathers, for there's a balance. There is one, handling it with grace, loving that, encouraging them that you are in this with them, that you are in this fight with them, that you understand what's going on. But there's also a balance of not just becoming buddy-buddy with them and going, oh, it's going to be all right, but also following through, that there are consequences, that there are boundaries that we got to set. There are things that we got to do to fight this together. And so it's really that rallying around them, showing them love and grace, understanding, but also being, again, that spiritual authority in their life that is holding them accountable through this battle.
So now I'd like to share with you all of the details of his failings. I just want to see the look on his face. I'm not going to do that. They will fail, and meet those with grace. Number 6, keep adolescent boys busy. You know, boredom is the enemy of your purity, whether you're an adolescent boy or an adult. And I think it's very important that you do keep them busy through those those puberty years, those formative years, because it just, that idleness is such a source of opportunity for temptation. And it's really important that you keep them busy. It's a good word for all of us, too. I think what I've noticed about men at midlife, it's another critical area of temptation. And what happens to a lot of men, they get bored. They get bored in their jobs. They've kind of raised their kids, and it leads to a period of great temptation. So, Matt.
Yeah, I would just echo that. Students, they just need to work. A lot of times I think students think they're really, really busy, and they think they have a lot going on, but they're really not. And looking again on the outside from a student ministry perspective, I think when I look at students, a lot of times they are given way too much time on electronics, way too much just free time, boredom time. And so I would just encourage you as fathers to keep your sons busy, to give them opportunities to work hard, to fill their schedules, to overload them, because in the midst of that boredom, in the midst of that free time with electronics is where that temptation really becomes unbearable. It opens the door to just a lot of danger. And so really just keeping your sons busy, I think, is really, really important in this battle and in this process.
And the last one, again, kind of common sense here, but pray for him and with him often. Pray for your son and with your son often about this struggle. 11 years ago, I taught this message from up front here as a part of Men's Roundtable. Looking back on that, I'm a whole lot more humble today than I was back 11 years ago, because what experience has taught me is that this process of trying to shepherd your son through this minefield of temptation is not following a checklist. It's not a program. That it's really far more than that. And perhaps the most powerful thing you can do as a dad, and bring your wife into this as well, is prayer. And to really be committed to praying for them in their battle. We did everything Focus on the Family said we should do. We put him through Passport for Purity, Raising a Modern Day Knight. You know, I could check all those things off, and not to diminish any of those things. But prayer is without prayer, none of those, I think, are going to be as effective as they should be. So engage in a commitment to pray for your son, and pray with him through this battle, because at some point, you know, they're gonna leave the home, right? Go off to college or leave the home, whatever, and you're not going to have any control at all. And so there's nothing you can do completely to control that situation other than to trust it to God, and that's really what prayer is doing.
Yeah, I'd speak to the sons. I would say, as your parents are right now, you're in the home, for most of you, that while you're in the home, your parents are praying for you. They're setting up these boundaries and these guidelines around you. But eventually there's going to become a day where you're either going to go off to college, you're going to go get a job, and you're going to move out, and you're going to leave. And these boundaries that are in your home now are going to be gone. And one of the greatest ways that you can honor your parents is by making good decisions, by taking these principles and these things that we're talking through this whole Men's Roundtable Quest for Purity, and then applying them to your life. And so for you, entering into that battle for yourself personally through prayer, and then remembering the prayers that your parents have prayed for you and that they are in this with you, but eventually you're going to have to own that on your own. You're going to have to step outside their walls, and you're going to have to own this, and that prayer is one of the greatest tools that you have to fight this battle.
Good. So to kind of wrap things up, I guess the last thing I would say to you, in kind of furthering what I was alluding to in the last point, is that your son's sexual purity is not a destination. It's a relationship. Your son's sexual purity is not a destination. It's a relationship. And ultimately, the greatest weapon that your son, that any of us have to win this battle, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what is going to be the ultimate power that we all have every day, not to click the mouse, not to look at something we shouldn't look at, is that love relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So I would say to you as dads, more than anything else, do everything you can to create an atmosphere of spiritual passion in your home so that your kids see that your relationship with Jesus Christ is where you draw strength from. I think it's the most powerful thing we can do.
Yeah, when I think of that idea, my relationship with Jesus, one of the most impactful and powerful stories in Scripture for me is King David. So King David should be off to war. He's not, and so he's hanging out. He looks over on the rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba. She's bathing. She's naked. Checks her out, says, "I want her," so he takes her, and then after all that, just destruction just happens. And so the prophet Nathan comes to him, and he confronts him, and when he confronts him, David confesses. And so in Psalm 51, it's probably my favorite one, in David's confession, I love what he says, so I'm just going to read it. Psalm 51, 16 through 17 says this. David says, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken heart. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." And what you see there and what David understands is he's going, hey, this list we've given you is good. But he goes, if that's all you wanted, he goes, I'd do that. Like, I'd sacrifice, I'd complete the whole list, and we'd be good, God. But he goes, that's not what you want. What you want is a repented heart. You want me to repent. You want a relationship with me. And so the question for you, sons and dads, is that do you believe that Jesus is enough? Do you believe that a relationship with him is greater than pornography? Do you believe a relationship with Jesus is greater than sex? Do you believe that it's greater than any sexual temptation, any sexual gratification that we get from all of this that the world offers? Do you believe that Jesus is greater than that? And that's what David's saying here. He goes, hey, a relationship with you is greater than anything else. And that what you want from me is repentance. You want my heart. You don't want just my actions. Like, there is a part of it where we got to set up and we got to fight this battle and we got to do tangible things. But at the core, what Jesus cares about is your heart and a relationship with him.
It's a good word, Matt. So, the last thing I'd share with you, just maybe as a final word to dads, and this is kind of personal here, but hopefully you'll take it as an encouragement, is what I want to say to you is it's worth it. All of the awkward conversations, all of the work you'll have to do, all of the times you'll have to well up enough courage to step toward a situation, the shepherding of your wife through this, all of that is worth it. And I say that to you today because I'm experiencing today what I would call a Matthew 3 moment, that even God the Father understood what it was like to be proud of his son. Matthew 3, Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And as he came up out of the water, Matthew 3, verse 17 says, they heard a voice from heaven say, "This is my son for whom I am well pleased." Well, you know, for me to be able to sit here today with my son who has enough credibility to sit up here with me, I look back and I say, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. So for you dads, I think God wants to give you that same kind of moment if you're willing to step forward courageously and do your part. And I just want to encourage you in that. It's worth it. It's worth fighting the battle. So let me pray for us all. Father, I thank you for the privilege as a dad to be able to shepherd my sons. And I pray for every man here in this room that they will understand the importance of having to do this with their sons and the privilege that you give them. I pray that you give them courage. I pray that you give them strength and that you, most of all, you give them wisdom and that you also help them in their own walk to model this and be an example for their sons. I pray for the sons in the room that they will not see their dads as the enemy, but see their dads as their partners in this and come alongside their dads to help them win this battle. And I pray for all of us that we will draw strength from our deep and intimate relationship with you so that we can have victory over sin as you have promised us. So pray your blessings upon everyone here. Help them to fight this battle. Help them to win this battle every day. In your precious name we pray. Amen.